The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
Hello to you, and man, is there a few things happening today in addition to Oklahoma and Texas? We'll dig deep into that is what I was trying to say. A lot of other things. I think you see that shot. We are finally back in a better place. We've been doing the show in all kinds of constraints for the past year, and I promise you, in a couple of minutes, you're going to see a face that you haven't seen in a long time. So it may be a sight for sore eyes, or it may be reason to flip over to another channel. But anyway, enough of that. Let's get to the headlines of the day, and they are plentiful since we last saw you on Friday. Yeah, Big 12 meets with Oklahoma and Texas, says it's to discuss proposals. Anyway, you can interpret statements all you want. Headlines don't matter right now. Statements do. And just a minute ago, a joint statement from the two schools, University of Texas and Oklahoma. The schools released a statement saying providing notice to the Big 12 at this point is important in advance of the expiration of the conference's current media rights deal. Now, you don't need to be a lawyer, but you might as well be. This is Bob Bowlesby. Thanks for checking in. Although our eight members are disappointed with the decisions of these two institutions, we recognize that intercollegiate athletics is experiencing rapid change and will most likely look different in 2025 than it currently does. Thank you, Commissioner, and thanks for joining the party. There's an easy way to translate all that. These are lawyers doing the talking. These are high-priced attorneys at big-time firms who are earning their $1,000 to $2,000 an hour fees. The reason why they are all saying these things in legalese is because that's what you have to do. Everyone is assuming, well, why can't the commissioner of the SEC just immediately fly out to Austin and Oklahoma and have some good barbecue and introduce the new? You can't do that. They're under agreement. So what they're doing is untangling. They're letting the conference know, we don't intend to continue this, but we intend to abide, meaning they don't want to be in breach. And once they find a little bit of clarity, then they will make the phone call to Birmingham saying, we would like to be considered for membership. And then I think you can follow the bouncing ball. So if you go back in time, Southwest Conference imploded 26 years ago. Arkansas and South Carolina left for the SEC. Arkansas was in the Southwest Conference a couple of years earlier. Big 12 form, Colorado bails, Nebraska bails, Missouri and Texas A&M bail. And a lot of it was with disagreement with the way the conference was being run. A lot of people have pointed their fingers at Texas. If you remember, it was 10 years ago that Texas nearly left the Big 12 as well. So since 92, Penn State was really the first to start the move. In fact, Arkansas was the first in 91 with South Carolina. Penn State made the move, and then Nebraska came 10 years ago, Rutgers and Maryland in 14, and prior to that, A&M and Missouri. And there's a lot more on the horizon because this is just a tipping point. Remember, Miami went to the ACC, Virginia Tech, Boston College, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and then, of course, Colorado and Utah moved to the Pac-12. So there are a lot of chess pieces up there. But the bottom line is this. Things are changing. When they are going to change, we don't know. But we have rarely, if ever, seen a moment like this in college football history. And we are here all week and till they tell us not to be here, but there's a lot to do. And we're going to talk to a number of people about what is currently going on. We'll take a snapshot of where we are later on. Heather Dinich, who covers this for ESPN, will also join us. John Talty will be here in a couple of minutes on where the SEC is in all of this. So we are well covered, well positioned, a lot to discuss. We'll continue to bring guests on. I'm sure there'll be more statements to be made. But let's get some reaction, because I know that last week in Birmingham, we didn't have a lot of time to get your reaction. Friday, we included a little bit, but there were still so many stories breaking. But at the moment, just announcements and statements coming out. So let's get to the phones. John starts it all off from Louisville. Hey, John, good afternoon. John, you there? It's always a comforting thought. We will try that one again. I don't mean to burden anybody with our issues, but when you start reconfining a number of things, things sometimes just don't work out. Do you hear him, by the way?
No.
Okay, Randy, we'll try another call here. Michael, are you there in St. Louis? Okay, so. By the way, don't worry. Don't let the fact that the host of the program can't hear the callers, you know, disrupt anyone's afternoon. I know what everyone wants to talk about. The issue is letting the. Hey, by the way, Randy's back too. Randy, okay. So the band is back. We are going to go to the break, and. Of the many things we are going to try to solve, number one is the phone calls. They apparently can hear us. We can't hear them. And by the way, here's the number in case you want to call and not be heard. 842-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, we're back, and try to keep up with the movements of this news story is quite extraordinary. So we'll talk to a number of experts today. Sam Kahn Jr. joins us, of course. He has been covering it in great, great detail. And Sam, thanks so much. Really nice of you to join us, and I know you've been doing some great reporting on this. At this hour, which is 3:13 Eastern time, 2:13 out in Texas, what can you tell us? Where are we?
So today, Oklahoma and Texas officially gave their notice to the Big 12 that they will not renew their grant of rights, which expires in 2025. That's the very first step in a few that they'll have to take to exit the conference and clear the path for their entrance to the SEC. The next step they'll have to do after this is officially notify the conference that they intend to withdraw. And there's an interim period, according to the Big 12 bylaws, that lasts about 18 months. And so they'll have to give that notice for that. And of course, that 18-month period can't change if the, if there's a majority of people in the conference who are on board with it. But they've got to take that step. And I would imagine that even though they said they're willing to ride out the rest of their time in the Big 12 through 2025, I would imagine they're going to try to reach a settlement of some sort to get out sooner than that.
So, Sam, okay, let's see if we can get past the legalese and the bylaws and. In all these things that attorneys get paid huge sums of money to keep up with. What do you think, what do you hear, what do you expect to really start happening this week?
Yeah, that's the question is, I guess, how long is it going to take for them to make their official notification of the conference? I don't imagine that has to take very long. And then once they do that, then the SEC can start mobilizing to officially engage and take a vote on whether or not to admit them. And so I would anticipate that process isn't going to take too long. I would imagine within a week or two based on people that I've talked to. So, but you know, that these things have a different way, like you said, with the legalese and lawyers and all that stuff, all these people got to get paid. So this certainly could take longer than we would all like it to take.
So Sam, you said you talked to a lot of people. If you had to paint up on the big canvas, what happens next and how it looks. What is it? Because, I mean, this thing is just not going to be suspended in time for very long, is it? Or is it?
I would hope not, because then, it, like I said, it leaves everybody else a little bit of uncertainty. Certainly, you've got eight other Big 12 schools who need to figure out their future as well. You know, the eight schools who are not leaving the conference, at least as of the moment, and they've got to figure out what their situation is going to be. Are they going to band together? Are they going to try and survive and expand, pick off teams from other leagues, or are they going to try to latch on to other leagues themselves? But I think it's in everyone's best interest for this to move quickly, both in Oklahoma and Texas' interest and the rest of the other eight schools, and in the SEC's interest for this to move as quickly as it can.
Sam, what happens to the Big 12?
That's the eight-figure question, because there's a lot of money riding on what happens to that conference. For right now, I think everyone is preparing options, contingency options of what they need to do. When they had met on their leadership call on Thursday, they all pledged that they would try to stay together. They would try to ride this out. At the same time, as many people in the league have told me, they would not be doing their jobs if they did not make contingency plans for elsewhere. So West Virginia would love to go in the ACC, but will the ACC have them? There are several of these schools that would be interested in joining the Pac-12, but will the Pac-12 have them? These are all questions for those conferences that are in a power position that are not in the chaos that the Big 12 is. So the question is, are those leagues willing to take them? And if they are, that's those eight schools' best chance of keeping media rights revenue in a comparable level to where it is now. If they stay together and they expand, the league could survive, but financially it's going to be crippled because the two schools who provided the most value are exiting. So I think you could see media rights revenue probably cut in half, even if they are to get back to 10 or 12 or 14 or 16 teams. I think they're going to suffer, and it's going to have a chilling effect on the athletic departments and their budgets of those eight remaining schools.
Talking to Sam Kahn. Sam, I know you've done a lot of reporting over the weekend. If I could just bounce from one end of the country to the other, you talked about the Big 12. Let's start with the ACC and move east to west. Where is the SEC, the ACC? You mentioned West Virginia. That's not a school they wanted 10 years ago. In fact, they turned their nose at West Virginia. What are their options?
I mean, obviously, their dream option would be to get Notre Dame to be a full member and get them in the football as a football member. I don't know how realistic that is, but that's the dream scenario for them. If you are going to consider West Virginia, which I think remains to be seen, if they would, you would think that they would add someone else too. And the question is where do they go beyond that to get to 16 to match up with the SEC? Here's the key question for them and any other league is, if you add a team, does it increase revenue for the rest of the teams in the league? Does it do enough for your broadcast contracts to increase revenue for everybody? Because if it doesn't, then there's no sense in adding. That's what the end game is. That's the reason Oklahoma and Texas left the Big 12, or are leaving the Big 12, I should say. That's the reason all these conference realignment moves are made, to increase value for all the schools. And if adding West Virginia to the ACC, raises all the boats financially, then it makes sense. And if it doesn't, then they won't. And I think it's pretty that simple. And that's why when we talked about these other Big 12 schools, that's what puts them in such a perilous position, because how many of them going to another conference adds value to those conferences? And I don't think there are very many.
Talking to Sam Kahn. Sam, Big 10, what are their options?
Our Andy Staples, my colleague at The Athletic, wrote a story about how they should go raid their partner, the Pac-12, which would be interesting if they tried to do such a thing. But I don't think they're going to sit by idly, but at the same time, they are in a position of strength because they, like the SEC, are flush with cash. They are among the best in class in the country in media rights revenue every year. So they are in a pretty solid position, but they also don't want to fall behind. This SEC move.
Okay,
hold on
a second, Sam. I mean, forget what Andy said. I know he's joking because that's not realistic, but they may be in a position of strength, but where do they go? What are their best options to try to keep up with everyone else? Well, keep up with the SEC, I should say.
I do think the pickings are slim. I think the pickings are slim to add because, again, I go back to the question I asked earlier. Who do you add that adds value? Unless they were able to – if they were able to go to school like Texas, if Texas was not headed to the SEC, if they were able to go to school like Texas, that would increase value. If you were able to convince somebody like Notre Dame to come into your league, that would increase value. But beyond that, I don't know who else.
But Sam, the realistic possibility of either one of them is nil.
Right. Correct. So I don't know who that they can add that will add value to that conference that would bring the media rights revenue, raise it for all 14 members. I don't know that there is something out there, but I say that they're in a position of strength because they are not one that has to make a move, I don't think. They don't want to fall behind, but I also don't think they have to make a move because they're in a pretty stable position financially.
Okay, you're right. I mean, they are flush with cash, and they have a media rights deal coming up in a couple of years. But if all this happens sooner rather than later, and I know that's what your expectation is, and suddenly the SEC is sitting there with Oklahoma, Texas, and everyone else, and the Big Ten's at 14, and they're still thinking about the Big 12 tried this a couple of years ago, and look what it got them when they balked on UCF and Houston and elsewhere. Is BYU in play for anyone?
Not that I've heard. You hear that name tossed around, but I haven't heard them realistically landing somewhere in one of these conferences in the last few days. There are attorney names to talk about, but it's not something that I've heard that there's a real appetite for in any of these conferences.
And can the Big Ten, can the Pac-12, the ACC really afford to sit pat if this goes through and we hear not and the Big 12 collapses or lets them out or whatever they want to do, and we see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC in a relatively short period of time, then can everyone else just sit there, or are we in the media overreacting, saying you've got to go out and try to keep up even though nobody really can keep up at this point?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more the latter because, like I said, I don't know what other moves are to be made unless they get creative. And some of these conference commissioners, this is why these conference commissioners get paid so much. Greg Sankey clearly was thinking many steps ahead of us. And the other question is how does the college football playoff factor into all this? Because that I think is going to play a big role as well. Is your league in a position to get multiple teams into an expanded playoff? Certainly the SEC is doing that with this move. Is the Big Ten still in that position? Probably. But that's where I think the ACC and the Pac-12 as the remaining power conferences, that's where I think they have to make that evaluation is whether they do need to make a move or not. I think it can be tricky to make a move on a whim and to react so quickly when something like this happens because this is a monumental move. This is the biggest move we've seen in 10 years. So it's natural to think for everybody to hit the panic button. But I think everybody would be best served to just let the dust settle a little bit and figure it out and do vet these moves before you make them because I think it's hard to react to something this monumental.
And Sam, while the answer may be pretty obvious, let's end on Texas because Oklahoma has been looking around for a while, even though they probably don't admit it. But the University of Texas looked west at one point. Nobody thought they would ever end up in the SEC. What pushed them over the top?
I think it's when you look back 2 months ago in May when the Big 12 went to its TV partners to discuss possibly renegotiating its TV deal, and they were met with indifference. There was no enthusiasm to renegotiate that deal. And 5 months before that, the SEC got handed a gigantic deal from ESPN for $300 million a year for 10 years. And to me, that, I think, is the straw that broke the camel's back for Oklahoma and Texas, is that they saw clearly where the Big 12 was in the pecking order and where it was going to lead financially long term. And the SEC was jumping way out ahead with its deal that it got in December. Meanwhile, the Big 12 was being told to wait. And I think Oklahoma and Texas have been very good about keeping an eye on the landscape and figuring out what they were going to do long term. And I think once that move was made, once it was made clear to them that they are second-class citizens, so to speak, in terms of their conference. that they wanted to make a move to stay ahead of the game and stay with best-in-class finances with the rest of the country. And that's, I think, why they made this move.
Sam Kahn Jr. joining us from The Athletic. We'll continue to talk to Sam and many others as we roll on here on a Monday afternoon. We will get back to your calls. We're optimistic. More of that, more guests to come, including John Talty in the next hour on the SEC and how they ended up at this point in time. And we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Glad you are with us. Folks from radio have just dropped back, and let's get to the calls. We're not even sure it's going to work. Little known secret. The radio and call part of this program normally operates out of Connecticut, the rest of it at our headquarters here. And we're trying to integrate things back together again, and we're finding out that everything just doesn't work the same way that it used to. And we're not even talking about vaccinations here, but it seems to me that some of these, this phone system needs to be vaccinated. I don't know about you, Randy. Let's try. Okay, good for you. Michael is in St. Louis, and Michael, you are on the air.
Yeah, Paul, I wanted to wonder, Iowa State. So obviously Texas and Oklahoma are gone. Big 12 is going to try to maybe piece together a conference. But I think Iowa State's best interests are jumping to the Big Ten because, number one, with that move, we're looking at four super conferences, and is the NCAA, like, dead as a doornail when that happens?
I think the NCAA is already in dire straits, so I no longer think they matter. I think it's really a matter of, you know, where this lands. And there's a lot of speculation. I'm really eager to talk to John Talty here in a minute because, you know, some people believe it doesn't stop at 16. I was with, I think it was Dan Patrick today, and he asked me about these rumors about the Big Ten maybe going to the West Coast. And if that happens, the SEC maybe goes somewhere else. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the reason why I am cautious on just an absolute free-for-all, you know, 16, 18, 20, is because I know how difficult it is to integrate new schools into your system. It's even with Texas A&M and Missouri, you had to play a hybrid schedule the first year, and then they had to be repositioned, and then you hear the complaints about Saban in particular about not getting in a five-year period, not really being able to see everyone in the league, and you add two more, it's difficult. But what if you add four overall? It is a scheduling nightmare, and nobody really knows, and maybe somebody does, you know, what happens. Is it divisional? Is it pods? But right now, we're going through such a transformation in college athletics that literally anything is possible. Let me bring in Andre to the Andre, go right ahead. Actually, let our guy just a second here. How about Frank in Atlanta? Frank, go right ahead.
I'm here.
Okay, good. You're on the air, Frank. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, my question is, I got two questions. How would Oklahoma and Texas fare in the SEC, and do you think Alabama will repeat this year?
I do think right now I would say Alabama is the favorite to repeat. As far as Oklahoma, let's talk about Oklahoma first. I mean, Oklahoma's been one of the top four or five programs in the country for a long time. Texas is the one I'm more interested in, but I would say Texas had a good day last Wednesday by this announcement. Texas just, you know, even changing coaches every 3 or 4 years has not really helped them. Nothing has helped Texas. I think this is the silver bullet, the magic bullet that is going to improve Texas's recruiting possibility. Thanks for the call, Frank. Appreciate it. You are on the air. Let me go to Andre next, down in the ATL. Andre, you're on the air.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
We are great. Thank you for calling.
I want to hear in the words of the great Coach Paul Feinbaum, what do you think about the Oklahoma Sooners and the University of Texas joining the Southeastern Conference?
Andre, I am really excited about it, and I've had a lot of things to say about both schools in the past. I mean, Oklahoma's record in the CFP is dubious, and Texas's record period is questionable. But I like it. To me, it just makes things more exciting. And by the way, it wasn't like the league wasn't any good in the first place. I think this takes the SEC from the best league to, we don't need to ever have that conversation again.
We don't need to have the conversation again. Where's that guy at? What was his name? Andy, the Ohio State fan from Chicago. Where's that chump at now, Coach? Where is he hiding at, Coach? Let there be no doubt. The SEC is the top conference. We rule the NFL. We rule the draft. We rule recruiting. And, you know, haters are going to hate. I hate this for the Big 12, but, man, this is about money, this is about prestige, and this is about survival. Hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call, Coach Feinbaum.
Well, thank you. No, I mean, I don't want to compare this to one of my favorite movies of all time, The Godfather, but but think about it. I mean, this is you got the five families. And the power, the most powerful ones. Who are we going to rub out tonight? I mean, it's that simple. Augie probably knows about that. He probably is the consigliere for one of those five families. Augie, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I'm glad you got your phone system working.
We're optimistic it will work tomorrow.
So, Paul, is this the biggest off season in your recollection in SEC history?
Yes. The biggest story off the field I can remember was the realignment conversation of 10 years ago, but it never happened. For 4 or 5 days, it was like this crazy, crazy drunk on a beach somewhere, and then you wake up and you go, oh my goodness, I've got a 4:30 a.m. flight tomorrow. In fact, I've got to figure out how to explain it. But this hasn't happened yet, but we all know it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, you thought it was big news when name, image, and likeness came out. Then you thought, wow, okay, now we're going to expand the playoffs. So that was a huge year right there. Well, just coming back from COVID was huge. So then you have NIL, Then you have playoff expansion. And now it's like the nuclear bomb. You've got the SEC basically exploding outwards. Do you think that they're going to be able to consume Oklahoma and Texas in the same division?
I don't know. I really have not heard a lot of conversation about that yet because there's so many legal hoops to get over. I'm sure there are a couple of models on the board down in Birmingham. I'm sure they have like, okay, this is what it looks like now. This is what it could look like. I mean, there are really only two possibilities, I think. There is the traditional divisional play that we know and love, or there's a four-pod system. Now, that's assuming that we end up at 16, but I don't know. I mean, there's almost no way of knowing at the moment, and that's an answer we rarely give here.
So your two other favorite conference commissioners, Oresko and Bowlesby, which one do you think is going to have a better future outlook?
Oresko. Because, I mean, Bob Bowlesby, smart guy, well-respected. We owe him. He saved college football last year.
But, he did.
But the problem, I think, and I don't want to say he missed this, because let me ask you a question, Augie. Had you been the commissioner of the Big 12, is there anything you could have done to stop these two guys? No.
I don't think there's anything they can do, but they're trying to give them more money to stay. But
no.
I don't think they can come up with enough money to keep them.
I mean, the only way to keep Texas would be to give them a state. I mean.
They've already got most of Texas.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the University of Texas, like, you don't care about, okay, well, we could give you another $15 million a year, and they're going like, so what? Texas is, right? I mean, I don't know when the bell went off, because we haven't heard anything officially from Texas yet, and I can't wait to talk to Sarkisian, because you know he had to be an advocate for this.
Well, you got to get McConaughey on the phone. He's the one pulling the strings at Texas, right?
I mean, right now, he's the biggest loser. because McConaughey, I don't know him. A lot of people in my profession do. And, he may be a big dog in Texas, but, he's got a lot of dudes he's got a belly up to the bar now with. And, my advice to McConaughey is run for governor of Texas, and then we will care what you have to say.
Paul, do you think they're burning Commissioner Sankey in effigy in College Station?
I just got a memo, Augie, that I am not allowed to discuss that issue any longer.
Well, I
that is verboten from any further conversation on the SEC network. We talked about that on Friday, and I've spent the last 48 hours in timeout.
Well, you're not talking about it, but I am just hearing all kinds of skullduggery about behind-the-scenes talks that have been going on between the commissioner and Texas and Oklahoma. They've been going on for weeks, apparently, if not months. You know, this just didn't happen overnight.
No.
But you got to believe.
Wouldn't you like, Augie, a forensic autopsy of what really went down? I mean, I talked to some people in College Station the other day who have their version. I've spoken to people in Birmingham who have their version, and you know what? It doesn't matter. The cat's out of the bag.
Well, Paul, your opinion, is this good or bad for the SEC?
Now, I want to answer this question with self-disclosure, Augie. I'm not really in business. I'm hired help, but...
What's Kubiak then?
What did they say in the another Godfather reference? It's the business we're in.
That's right.
For what we do here every day, I mean, all of us who are part of this network, this is Christmas morning, okay?
Christmas morning? It's more than Christmas morning.
Well,
it's like Jeff Bezos just willed you his entire estate.
Yeah, well, it's not that good because if Bezos had willed us his entire estate, There's a bar with, there's a bar stool with my name on it right now. We'll take a break. More to come. McConaughey's on is calling me. Is that what I'm hearing?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We are back, and welcome to the program. Of course, I knew Matthew McConaughey's name. A lot of people are saying, I can't believe you didn't know him. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Phil is in North Alabama. Phil, you're on the air. How are you?
Well, I'm a lot better than I was last Friday, Paul, when they split me open and did a 26-year-old bypass redo.
Oh, my goodness. So how are you?
Well, I'm in ICU, but supposed to get out of here to a step-down room later today. Everything worked perfectly. And
what city are you? What city are you in, Phil?
I'm in St. Vincent's in Birmingham, Alabama, and I wanted your listeners to know there's no better heart care team anywhere. I've been dealing with them for years. The cardiologists are great, and if you ever need a bypass, you need to see Dr. John Richardson.
Well, by the way, I know Dr. Richardson, and you are 100% correct. My wife used to be on the staff at that hospital, and I'm partial to it, but Dr. Richardson comes from a long line of great doctors, as you probably already know.
Yeah, he's the greatest, and his team is as well. I'm doing better. They're going to move me out of here today. Probably go home in a couple of days. I might not be able to climb into my seat in Bright Denny in September, but maybe I can make it by the end of the season.
Now, my only question is, do they know in the ICU that you're calling in a television show right now?
I've been talking to my customers, doing business. Only in America is this possible.
Well, I'm so glad to hear from you. And I mean, particularly you are in good health, in good shape. Let me back up. You're in a good hospital. Hopefully your health follows your guidance. But say hello to everybody there. I've met a few folks there over the years, so it's a great place.
I will. And one other thing, I can't wait to be sitting in my seat to see Alabama and Oklahoma, or Alabama and Texas in a couple of years.
I mean, you and I have both seen Alabama play Texas for the national championship, and I went to both of those Oklahoma games back in, what was it, 01 and 02 or 02 and 03, I can't remember. That trip to Norman was memorable. Let's get to Coach in Morristown, Tennessee. Hey, Coach. Coach, you there?
I'm here. How are you, Paul?
I am well. Great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you, too. I've been watching daily, and wow, I tell you what, I guess it does just mean more. I'm not calling you from the ICU, but that's quite a call.
Yeah, that really was. And we've had a few from hospitals over the years, but that is fantastic. I'm so glad to hear he's doing well.
That is. Well, I agree with you. First of all, I do want to ask a question about expansion. But first, before I do that, you mentioned in the last segment about it being kind of like Christmas Day. Well, it's almost like being the second best day, I guess, is a birthday day, isn't it?
That's a rumor, but I am not allowed to discuss it for security reasons.
Hey, well, I just want to be the first. Happy 50th birthday, Paul.
Hey, yeah, you know, I thought turning 50 was going to be tougher than this, but you know what? It's no big deal. we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.